I go now to Claire Newton, who's a psychologist, and we're going to be talking about procrastination. Another meme I found was "Procrastinators Unite Tomorrow." Claire, hi. It's easy to make jokes about procrastination, isn't it?
Good evening, Lindsay. Yes, it is very easy to make jokes about procrastination. And actually, it's quite serious because there are a lot of symptoms which are very, very negative.
Yeah.
So procrastination causes stress, it causes guilt, it causes panic. Obviously, it causes loss of productivity and it weakens the immune system.
And of course,
it also will keep you awake at night.
And you say it's keeping you awake at night, but it's something that we know. It's self-harm. We know it's bad, but we do it anyway. And so we're going to be chatting about that. I was reading the New York Times series of articles when they're saying procrastination is not laziness. It's not a time management issue. But let's start with looking at procrastination and really what it's about.
Yeah, absolutely. So a psychologist would define procrastination as that act of replacing high priority actions with low priority actions. So in other words, it's that gap between what we intend to do because it's important and what we actually end up doing. So it's putting off important tasks that you should be focusing on right now, because you would rather do something that's more pleasurable or something that you're more comfortable with doing. And from a psychologist's point of view, we would say that there need to be three criteria met in order to define behavior as procrastination. And those three criteria are: the behavior needs to be counterproductive, it needs to be needless, and it needs to be delaying behavior.
Mm. I was amused to know that the word procrastinate comes, there's two origins, one from the Latin to put off till tomorrow, and then the Greek, akrasia, which is doing something against your better judgment. And that's, I suppose, yeah, why, you know, you get these labels that you're lazy if you procrastinate. But the kinds of things we do in order to not do what we don't want to do, that's, it's not lazy. It's actually, it's quite involved sometimes.
It can be incredibly complex. So I work with clients all the time who come to me saying, Claire, you know, I want to get over this procrastination. For example, I do a lot of online work. So I've got a client in America at the moment. He's a businessman. He is a very, very successful businessman, but he doesn't send out his invoices. And we are working with what's that all about.
Yeah.
And it goes right back into childhood. It goes right back into the message that his mother gave him about money being the root of all evil and money isn't everything. It goes back to self-esteem, beliefs about yourself. So it can get very, very complex.
And most of us know procrastination is when we have a report to do or some homework to do and we've got 3 days a month, doesn't matter how long we've got, but we spend the whole night doing it in less time than we should.
Yes, and so there's many, many reasons why, you know, different people will procrastinate. And one of the reasons is what you're talking about here. It's that whole idea of what I want to do over what I should do. And it's an age-old struggle. Mm. And those people that are not disciplined will end up doing the thing that they want to do, going out, you know, socializing and so on, rather than that report that they actually should be doing. And so the battle there is only won when we recognize that want never goes away, but we have to be disciplined. We have to get down and do the thing that needs doing because it's important or because it's urgent.
Via the SMS, Tyrone Apollos, he says he wants copyright over this. He says, procrastination is the only nation I'll make war against. I want to also know from you listeners, how have you procrastinated? I know before studying, I always say I'm almost finished and that means I've just got my notes together. And often I think, yo, I actually really enjoy studying. If I'd actually given it the time, I should have. But then I suddenly would want to do a puzzle, which I'll spend all night doing rather than studying. I'd like to know how you procrastinate. Claire, I want to come back to what you say. It's about discipline. These two articles, the one was written by Tim Cycle out of Canada, and the other was Adam Grant, saying that it's actually the whole idea you mentioned about being disciplined. The one article said that actually when we talk about time management, it can actually be part of the problem, and that we then often become more aware of how much we waste time, and comments on this whole culture that's obsessed with personal productivity and how people boast about being busy. You were highlighting a client there where there's a serious consequence. No invoices means no money coming in.
Yes, so what actually happens then with procrastinating, there's many reasons. I have an article on my website about procrastination, and I itemize 8 different reasons why people procrastinate. And the time management issue is just one of them. And what we tend to find is that people who are disorganized tend to be worse at procrastinating than people who are organized. Mm. And that's typically because people who are disorganized tend not to know how long a particular task is going to take them. They don't break it down into systematic steps. They don't know where to start. They have so much to do that what actually happens is they don't start doing it at all. So that whole idea of time management, it is just a very small aspect. I do work with clients with that, but I tend to work with clients with a lot of other things instead. So personality type? Personality type is very interesting. According to the MBTI, which is the Myers-Briggs type indicator, it's an internationally recognized personality profile, which I administer. And clients can be either what we call the judging type or the perceiving type. And the judging type person works best when they have a plan and they work to their plan and they follow that plan. So they're very time and deadline oriented, like to make decisions. But the perceiving type is much more spontaneous. They don't like to make decisions. They don't like to have a plan. They would far rather just adapt to the changing situation. Go with the flow would be the phrase that they will use. And so sometimes what I find is that people are saying, you know, Claire, I'm procrastinating, and what am I going to do about it? And we get down to, actually, it's their personality type. Mm. They're never going to be very organized and structured and doing everything, you know, 2 weeks ahead and being, you know, on time, well ahead of, you know, deadline, because they get stimulated and they get their energy by last minute pressure. But here is just a word of caution to the listener, because probably a lot of people are going to say, okay, that's me. But you've got to be quite in tune with yourself to know whether you are the perceiving type or the judging type. And if you're not then, you know, I highly recommend doing the personality profile and understanding yourself. And if you're one of those people who just is spontaneous, lacks that last-minute pressure, then work with that. Problem is, you've still got to give yourself enough time to write the report. As you were saying, Lindsay, if you don't give yourself enough time, you're not going to produce the best result, because sometimes you just need time. And that's what's always quite interesting with procrastinators, is that once they get started, they actually find out that they really enjoyed it, and it took them, you know, less time perhaps than they thought. And they think, well, why didn't I just do this in the first place?
When I started the show, I was reading some sort of jokey things. Somebody says, I'm not a procrastinator. I just prefer doing all my work in a deadline-induced panic. And you mentioned that, you know, some people work well under stress, but at some point, if you can completely stress yourself, then you get the task done, but you end up in a sort of stressed lump.
there's
a consequence.
Does happen. So I end up seeing a lot of people who are exhibiting all the symptoms of stress, and there's a lot of symptoms of stress, but key ones would be inability to focus, inability to make decisions, inability to problem solve, they're not sleeping, they have health issues, and then it starts becoming, you know, getting into psychological issues as well. So there's many, many symptoms of stress which could have been avoided if they just didn't procrastinate.
The Canadian guy who wrote about this by saying it's not actually a time management issue, he says it's an emotion regulation problem. The other author, Adam Grant, says it's actually about attention management, which is quite a nice way of putting it and saying it's not about time management and saying you should focus on what you're doing and do it for the right reason and do it in the right places and the right moments, which it's a little bit like what you're saying is, you know, if you break it up into pieces, it might be less of a burden and seem more manageable.
Absolutely. So focus is one of the things that for quite a while, perhaps the last decade, we were very much into the whole multitasking thing and we lacked focus. It was, you know, doing emails and answering telephone calls and doing the reports and the whole lot all at once. And fortunately, we're finally realizing that multitasking in that sense is not working at all. So I get my clients to really, really focus. And, you know, I work with calendars, you know, with technology. We can have, you know, fabulous online calendars. And I say to them, actually put down, when are you going to focus on your emails? That's a specific time. It could be once a day. It could be, you know, four times a day, but a very specific time for doing the emails, for answering calls, and another specific time for doing, you know, the report or those tasks that you need to do. So focus is very, very important. We know that mentally we are not able to do two things at once. All we end up doing is both things fairly badly, you know, or not as well as could. Mm. So yes, I absolutely go along with what that chap says about focusing. And it's one of the things that I will work with my clients is, why aren't they focusing? What is happening there?
Well, it's interesting that they talk about being creative and they talk about productivity not being a virtue but actually a means to an end. And they talk about the fact that if you use willpower, there's actually no passion. And they say, but if you look at why you're excited and who benefits, you might actually unpack the intrinsic motivation. And I suppose that's what happens. We think, yeah, I've got to just manage my time and I've got to be disciplined. And they're saying is look at what you're doing, be creative about what you're doing. And they also make an interesting comment about how some people try and do the boring stuff first so they can get to the exciting stuff. And they'll say that, you know, what you want to do never goes away and actually it just sneaks into your mind. What's your take on that?
So that's exactly what I said to you earlier. What you want to do is never going to go away. So you do need to say, right, I'm going to schedule time to do those things that I want to do. And that's often what we don't do. In this busy, busy, you spoke about, you know, the status of being so busy. And we are. People are, you know, greeting each other. How are you? Oh, I'm busy. And I'm like, well, really? So what we should be doing is actually scheduling into our calendar, into our weekly, monthly, and yearly sort of time planning is to do those fun things because that will give us energy and so on. And then the creativity to motivate you, absolutely. I completely agree with that. If we can remember why am I doing this job with all these tedious, boring, or challenging tasks, we can remember the big picture of the why. It will help us to get through those daily tasks, the daily grind that has to happen in order to achieve the outcome, that, you know, the vision that you're looking for.
I quite like the fact that they did some research and that they found that in bad weather, the production actually increases because they reckon people are more likely to be distracted by the good weather. We don't have that extreme kind of bad weather. They talk about the fact in Japan that bank transactions are actually done faster, which I think is hysterical. And that in the United States, the research they did, they said that people became more efficient correcting spelling errors in bad weather. I quite like that. So choose bad weather to get more stuff done.
And I guess what that's about is the idea of, well, I can't go out, you know, to the beach or the parks anyway, so I might as well just stay here and get on with it. And it's controlling those emotions. It's controlling those desires. Absolutely.
Yeah. And then being more creative with your rewards.
Our mind can influence our productivity.
Yeah, and you can reward yourself there when the weather does improve, that you're not just distracted by the good weather. You actually go out and enjoy it. It's about bringing the joy back. You commented on know your type. They also comment on the fact that it's important to know whether, for example, you're a morning person or an evening person. I mean, this is such basic stuff that you can't force yourself to study early in the morning if you're a night person. You've got to use if you're wanting to do analytical skills, you need it to do at a time that's right for you.
Indeed. And, you know, in terms of just general human behavior, we have a body clock, our circadian rhythms. And what that would say is that for most people to do their mental work in the morning and their sort of energetic and physical work in the afternoons is the best way around for us. And it's kind of how our school system works. You did the maths and the difficult kind of subjects in the morning, and then you did, you know, the other kind of things like PE and swimming and so on in the afternoons. And that generally works well for most of us. But there are individuals who are completely different, and you really do need to be in tune with yourself.
Yeah, and of course,
unfortunately, most people are not in tune. They're not really observing themselves and aware. They're just going along with what everybody else is saying or doing.
They've done some research for people who are at school, and the idea of starting school at 7 o'clock goes against everything we know about what teenagers need in terms of sleep. So often we are fighting that, but at the end of the day, we need to remember productivity is not a virtue, it's a means to an end. And so understand it's about creating positive consequences.
It's about creating positive consequences, because that's the reward for yourself then. And it's really important to get that sense of self-satisfaction, that sense of achievement for yourself. Not that somebody else is having to reward you, but that you know, I've done the job well. I've done as much as I needed to do. And notice that I don't say that I've done, 100%, or I've done my absolute best, because some tasks don't require your 100% energy, and they don't require your absolute best. They just require enough for that task.
Yep.
Other tasks require full commitment.
Tyron says, the harder I work, the more time I have to do what I haven't done yet. Of course, it is a skill. Some people are very good at finding things to do and being very creative about the stuff that you do in order to put off what you don't want to do. And I suppose acknowledging the creativity and in fact, the lack of laziness is about putting a positive spin on it.
Yes. And, we would talk about a chronic procrastinator as that person who will continually put off doing, what they ought to be doing or need to be doing in order to do the fun stuff. And the result of that, though, is that you aren't productive, and you end up then panicking and stressed and all of those negative things that we mentioned. So it is about self-reward, knowing what it is that you need to do, getting down to doing it, and not just waiting for, the right time or to be in the right mood, because often there isn't a right time and there isn't the right mood. You just need to get down to do it. It's about making decisions.
This WhatsApp,
making the decision, this is what I'm going to do today or in this particular moment.
Yeah, be mindful of that. This WhatsApp says, last-minute pressure stimulates the creative juices. Those who do not procrastinate are boring plodders.
And that comes from somebody who says that, last-minute stimulation is exciting. And for them, those people that are structured and organized would be boring plodders.
Yeah, and some people do function well under pressure, but you've got to obviously create a balance. Now, you do have a website, and you've got a whole list of things that people can do, practical things. If people want to find your website, how do they do that?
So it's my name, Claire Newton, and that is spelled Claire, Newton as in Isaac Newton, Newton. So www.clairenewton.co.za. If they go onto that website, lots of stuff there. Look under free resources, look under articles, lots and lots of articles, and there is this one on procrastination, as well as one on stress, anxiety, and insomnia, all the related things that we've been talking about. So they can go and find that there and do all their reading just in one place.
Claire, you're based in Durban. Are you ever in Cape Town?
I am based in Durban. I am sometimes in Cape Town, but I do a lot of online work, both as a psychologist and as a business coach. So I've got clients nationally as well as internationally. So if there's any Cape Town people who are thinking, you know, it's triggered something for them and they'd like to get in touch with me, we can really, really, really successful.
Thank you so much for your time on Cape Talk. It is much appreciated.